I'm speaking with Samuel Taylor, a PhD student in the Social Media Lab at Cornell. He will be participating in a panel discussion following a viewing of the documentary film Screenagers, being shown next Monday, May 1st at 6 p.m. in Culp Auditorium at Ithaca High School. The documentary is about the effect of the amount of time that teens spend using screens, social media, and the internet. Samuel Taylor does research on how communication technologies such as Facebook, chatting, and Snapchat impacts our personal relationships. Sam, thank you for talking with me today.
Of course.
The trailer for the documentary film Screenagers notes that students spend an average of 6.5 hours per day looking at some type of screen. What types of screens are they talking about?
Oh, I would say that most of them are talking about either computers or their smartphones. And then, of course, you know, tablets are rising in popularity as well. And so those would be the screens that I think most of the documentary would be about.
And you do research on how communication technologies impact our personal relationships. When you think about teens, what do researchers think are the most influential technologies?
The most influential technologies with teens sort of seems to be a moving target, and that's what makes it so hard for a lot of parents, right? Because like every, you know, 6 months or so, there's like a new popular medium that is rising and where their teenagers are going, and so they have to go and learn a new medium to understand the effects.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now we hear a lot about Snapchat, but, you know, texting and, you know, Facebook are still like, and Instagram, of course, are all, like, you know, popular. So there's lots of different moving parts that you have to pay attention to when you're thinking about the effects of technology on relationships and well-being.
And how do these technologies affect teens? Can you give some examples?
Sure. So I think what research is saying about these is that I really appreciate that you mentioned time at the beginning, because that is what most of the research is about, is the amount of time that teens spend on social media technologies and their effects on their relationships and well-being. And the research is pretty inconclusive about the effect of time. In fact, now most scholars are arguing that looking at time is actually a really bad indicator of the effect of social media on teens, because technology is so multifaceted now that it's impossible to just think about time. You need to start drilling down to the types of uses that they're on there for and look at those impacting well-being rather than just time.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I would start to think about when I see these questions about time is have that sort of raise a red flag and be like, maybe we shouldn't be talking about time. We should be talking more specifically about what they're doing when they're using their phone or their computer or their tablet.
Uh-huh. What is one type of usage that you think impacts teens?
Yeah, so there's really great research on social interaction and the effect that it has on teens. So what we find pretty consistently across the board is if teens go online or start texting someone and it's like a friend from school or a family member or something like that, that actually tends to be very positive. You know, just because their interactions are moved from face-to-face interaction to online interaction, that doesn't necessarily isn't harmful to their relationship. What we see that there's more of a negative effect is if they go on and they like are interacting with total strangers.
Uh-huh.
But that's actually far and away like an exception rather than the rules. The people that we tend to use technology with are like our best friends, our parents, you know, people we know from school. There's the use among strangers is actually quite low. So going on and having social interactions with, you know, existing offline friends actually seems to be quite positive.
And so, you know, you do look at how communication technologies impact personal relationships. So can you talk a little bit about your work in that area?
Sure. So as I mentioned before, most of the time the people that we are interacting with on these technologies are our best friends, our spouses, are, you know, the really, like, important people in our lives.
Uh-huh.
And so what I have find in my research is that actually people tend to like think about like the effects of communication technologies on their relationship, but what is more consistent is that close relationships tend to predict the use of a lot of technology because of the complexity and of those relationships, the functions that they serve and in our lives, and the importance that they have. So we're constantly like reaching out to connect with those people because they are so important to us. Mm-hmm. That, I would say, seems to be something that we overlook. There tends to be this like big gray dark cloud that people associate with relationships and technology, saying that, you know, it takes away from our face-to-face interactions. But actually, the research is quite opposite. There's a pretty strong positive correlation between people who engaging in face-to-face interaction and text messaging or Facebook or Instagram. There's almost always, in every study that I can think of, there's a positive relationship there. So this, like, you know, the more time that you spend texting, the less time that you're going to spend having, you know, face-to-face interactions with people does not really seem to be supported in the research.
Uh-huh. What about when you're developing a new relationship? Let's say in you know, the process of dating, you know, with teenagers who are used to communicating by texting, for example, where they're not like looking at each other and getting social cues. I mean, does the increased use of screens get in the way of that, or does it enhance it, or what are researchers finding?
Yeah, so I think that one thing that has been shown since, you know, the early 90s is like that people tend to adapt those social cues to how they interact via technology. So we actually see very similar social cues being presented just in new ways because humans are innovative and creative and can change, you know. So instead of, like, making direct eye contact as they would face-to-face, they might, you know, write long, elaborate messages or be very explicit in the way that they talk to their partner. Or the person that they're developing a relationship with. There is this interesting phenomenon that we see of, it's called the hyperpersonal effect. And what we see is these interactions either tend to be hyper-positive or hyper-negative. So it's quite interesting that if you look at these relationships and communication in these relationships over a period of time, there will actually be a tipping point where, you know, let's say text messaging interactions, if they are interacting via text message, those interactions tend to become more intimate and feel like lead to more liking because of the way that they're adapting these social cues on the platform. So I think that talking about just like how technology strips social cues out of the situation totally is a really boiled down version of what actually happens in the way that people change their communication. There being no social cues and that they no longer know how to, because, you know, like I said before, most of these people will actually have been talking face to face beforehand as well. You know, if it's a teenager who's developing romantic relationship with someone, they probably, you know, met them at the school cafeteria, or, you know, were introduced at a party or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then they switch to these other modes. And so they'll switch back and forth between the various modalities and not necessarily lack the social cues completely.
And I'm wondering, have you looked at all at generation gaps in families where the parents or the caregivers haven't had nearly as much experience as their children? And so there's this kind of divide of, you know, the way that they can talk about it together or understand each other.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question, and I think one that's really evolving right now. So there was a very recent study that was published that actually found that adults in like the middle adulthood range were on technology more than teenagers. Hmm. And so I think, you know, there used to be this, like, narrative that, like, parents were totally out of it and their teens, like, were the ones who, like, knew everything and stuff. I think we're in this interesting shift period where people who are becoming parents of teenagers actually are quite literate in technology and can adapt to those technologies quite well. Mm-hmm. And there's also great research showing that there is this, like, narrative out there that's painted that teens are, like, experts at technology and just, like, get it. But it turns out that they are actually quite naive but just, like, keep going at it anyway and and are missing a lot of the skills that they need to use the technologies properly. So I know that doesn't really answer your question, but I think, like, there is an interesting question that's emerging right now as we see this big shift with parents being a lot more technologically literate and using it more than their teens, to see how that changes the way that parents and their teenagers use these technologies in the home. Because in the past, there certainly have been documented differences. You know, parents get their teen a phone for, you know, to contact them, but their teenager thinks that the phone is primarily to be used to, you know, text their friends and stuff. So, and there was certainly some conflict that was documented there. But I think that, like I said, there's this interesting thing happening where that might not apply anymore. And I think it might change the way that we think about families and technology.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, before we finish, is there any other information that you would like to talk about relating to screen use and relationships?
The question of time seems to be and no longer a useful way of thinking about this, uh-huh. and that we need to actually drill down to the types of use that they're doing and who they're interacting with and stuff, because when you get down to there, then it's much easier to understand why there might be a positive effect or why there might be a negative effect. If they're going online and they're interacting with their friends and having a good time, that should be a positive thing. But, you know, if they're going online and being cyberbullied or something like that, we should expect, you know, a negative effect on their well-being and overall health there. Mm-hmm. So drilling down, moving beyond the question of time and thinking more critically about it, about these technologies, is hugely important. And unfortunately, the recommendations that come from these agencies that sort of overwatch this still focus on that question of time. So as parents look into this, I would like to just encourage them to be thinking a little bit more critically about multifaceted uses of these technologies and how their teens are using them, mm-hmm. beyond just how many moments they're in front of a screen.
Sam Taylor, you will be a panelist during a discussion following a showing of the documentary film Screenagers coming up next Monday, May 1st at 6 p.m. And the film's going to be shown at Culp Auditorium at Ithaca High School. Thanks very much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much.